In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Many false prophets are out there deceiving people, and I want to be sure that I'm only presenting the truth right out of God's word. And what I want you to do is to test my words and to make sure that I'm putting forth no doctrine that is false, that I'm only speaking the truth from the word of God. All of us need to do this, and we can guard ourselves against believing false doctrines and being deceived by knowing what the truth is, studying the word of God. And when we do that, we'll know the truth. And when we hear something that we know is not in the Bible, then we'll know it's false doctrine. So we need to be sure that we are familiar with what the Bible says. We need to learn it. Jesus said plainly in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Every sincere religious person will want to learn the truth in order to make sure that their calling and election is sure, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. This morning, I want us to consider the proper attitude that we must have toward the Word of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, those who gladly received His Word were baptized. It is essential to everyone that we gladly receive His Word, the Word of God. These two words, gladly received, indicate a disposition on the part of those who heard the preaching of the gospel message on that occasion. What should our attitude be toward the Bible? What is your disposition toward it? When you hear the Word of God read, what feelings do you have with reference to it? I want to emphasize, first of all, that the Bible is the Word of God. It and it alone is the only valid place that we can go to and seek information that will lead to the salvation of our souls. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, Paul writes this to Timothy, who is an evangelist, and he says this in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." When we fully accept the Bible as inspired of God, then we will have the right attitude toward it. And that becomes relatively simple. When we base our belief on the fact that we know that this word that we read in the Bible is from God, it's not man-made, it's not man's ideas, but it's inspired of God, it's God-breathed words. Perhaps the first or basic attitude needed is that we're willing to submit to God's will, whatever it is. And unless you're willing to submit to every principle found in God's word, then we're going to approach it with the wrong attitude. We must have the disposition of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Peter was sent to him to teach him. And when Peter gets there, Cornelius says in Acts 10 verse 33, "So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." You see, Cornelius wanted to hear the word of God right then, now, and he wanted to hear all that God had commanded. It reminds me of what is said of the Apostle Paul when he is meeting with the elders from Ephesus in Acts 20. And in verse 27, Paul says that he didn't want to withhold anything from them. He said in Acts 20 and verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." You know, so oftentimes today, people are ready to accept a part of God's word, whatever they want to believe, but they're willingly overlooking things that they do not like. And this should not be the case. This is the wrong attitude to have toward the Word of God. We need to accept it all and be willing to submit to it. And as we scan the Word of God and call to our attention various examples of men and women of faith, we find the attitude of wanting to hear and do God's will prevalent. What a wonderful attitude to have. Consider Noah, who it says in Hebrews 11 verse 7, by faith, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah believed God to the point that when God asked him to build an ark, he did not try to reason why build an ark. He simply heard the word of God. He moved to do exactly what God had told him. He did it. And now consider another person mentioned in Hebrews 11, Abraham. It was said of him by faith when he was called, obeyed to go out into a place which he had to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He was told to leave his own country, his own hometown, to travel to a place he had never been before, knowing nothing of that place. And he did not question God or try to reason why was this really necessary. It was said of Abraham that he obeyed the voice of the Lord by faith. We also can consider there in Hebrews 11, verses 24 and 25, what is said of Moses. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses could have enjoyed all the temporal pleasures of royalty, but he refused to do so because of his deep abiding faith in God, his willingness, his attitude to want to do what was right, to be pleasing to God, to please his heavenly Father, was greater than the short-lived pleasures of this life. In each of these examples, the key here, the commonality, is that they had faith. Each one of them wholly accepted his word without quibbling, without complaining, and did exactly what God asked of them. So often today, we hear people speak of great faith in God, but then they turn right around and refuse to do what God has commanded and not live according to how God has commanded. And while we are on this point here, may we point out that faith moves people to do something. In the New Testament book of James, in chapter 2 and verse 24, we find these words, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." In verse 26, we read, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." These are verses we need to remember. Think about Abraham, Noah, and Moses. They were moved by their faith to do something extraordinary because God had told them to do that. Listen to the words of Christ while Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew quotes him as saying, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." He then follows with these words of examples of two builders. And again, I encourage you to listen once again to the words of the Lord. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." When we have the proper attitude toward the Word of God, we don't only hear what He says to do, we do what He says to do. And if we do, our life will stand. However, If we do not do his will, we will fall, and great will be the fall. Now I ask, must we accomplish any works to be saved? Listen to Christ and what is recorded in John chapter 9 and verse 4. In John 9 and verse 4, it says, we must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Is faith a working faith? Sure, it is. We cannot, on our own good morality, devise any schemes, work a way into salvation without Christ, but we must be obedient to God's word. He expects it. Jesus shows us this principle that he lived in his life. The writer of Hebrews records in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who, what? Obey him. When is our obedience really tested? When everything is going just great, or when we're faced with suffering? It is said here that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. When we are put under the gun, so to speak, tested by fire, our true loyalty comes forth. We can also learn from this passage that salvation is only offered to those people who obey him. The only way we can truly obey Christ is to be doing the things which he's commanded, nothing more, nothing less. Consequently, to be saved, we are not to add anything to the Word of God, nor subtract from a single thing that God's Word commands us to do. Revelation 22, verses 18 through 29. We can learn from the examples we've considered of Noah, Abraham, and Moses that where God has spoken, we must respond in obedience. Their faith was proven in the acts of obedience to God. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in John chapter 15 and verse 14, he said, you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. A genuine love of the Lord will produce acts of obedience as a result of a deep and abiding faith. We gain this faith by hearing the words of God. That's what it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We must also have the attitude that where God has not spoken, where he has remained silent, then we have no right to infringe. Man cannot presume to speak for God. Man needs to speak where the Bible speaks and to remain silent where the Bible is silent. Doing what our God expects us to do. John wrote these words of Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What this means is that my food, my sustenance, my desire, my enjoyment, my very life is to do the will of God and to accomplish his work. We must have the attitude towards God and his word that we're going to do whatever he has said, that our attitude towards the Bible is that we are going to submit with obedience in everything that is found in the word of God. Could it be said of you this very moment that your attitude towards God's word is, show me whatever God requires of me and I will respond to it. I will do it. I'm telling you, friends, that anything short of this kind of attitude is not the proper attitude we need to have towards the Word of God. Respect it. Gladly receive it. Do what it commands. The Bible says, repent, Acts 17 and verse 30. Confess Christ, Romans 10 and verse 10. Be baptized into Christ, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. This is Steve Peeler, the evangelist at the West Main Church of Christ in Franklin. Thank you for listening to our radio program.